Ladies and gentlemen, dreamers and doers, seekers of purpose and fulfillment, welcome to Passion on Purpose, the podcast that sets your soul on fire and ignites the spark within you. I'm your host, Steph Hilfer, and I'm beyond thrilled you're here. Passion on Purpose features leaders, experts, and sometimes me on center stage. We put the spotlight on visionaries, entrepreneurs, leaders, experts, and everyday heroes to share their journey of self-discovery, enthusiasm, and unwavering determination. We'll explore how they use their passion and purpose to fuel their brand. Alongside our leaders, we'll provide practical tips, actionable advice, and wisdom from our experts across various fields. So if you're ready to unleash your inner fire, shake off the doubts and insecurities, and pursue a life of purpose with unbridled enthusiasm, then let's dive in. Hi, guys. Welcome back to another episode of the Passion on Purpose podcast. I'm so excited for today's leader on center stage. Her and I had the beautiful opportunity to meet at this year's PNW Women's Network live event. And, you know, I had the pleasure, actually, I'll say I did not get the pleasure to meet as many women as I really wanted to that day, but I did get to meet several of you, and Shauna was one of them. And I will say immediately, I was like, I need you on my show. So listen, guys, stay with us because Shauna brings something to the table. I'm going to let her introduce a little bit of this, but what she shared with me is, you know, we all need to not, I don't remember exactly how you said it, Shauna, but it was along the lines of, is like, we shouldn't be afraid of things that bring us pleasure. And without even really knowing what context we're going to, I want you to all feel and believe that for yourself, because she's going to shed a whole another light on what that means. And it truly hit me. I knew I had to have her on the show. So without further ado, Shauna Stewart, the owner of Linger Boutique, local here. So if any of you are listeners for local for me here in Washington State, local to Olympia, I'm so excited to have you on. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me, Steph. It was a pleasure meeting you at the event. And I agree, there just wasn't enough time to meet everyone in the room that I wanted to meet either. But I felt really grateful for the connections that were made that day.
Yeah, I guess we're just going to have to focus on that quality over quantity mentality. Yep. Yeah. So speaking of quantity, this is episode 87. So I'm so excited to just dive in as we always do. And we're going to start off with Shauna. What is your why?
So we are on a mission to normalize rest and pleasure at Linger Boutique. And when we say rest, we really just want to encourage people to slow down, take time for what matters most. And to us, that is deep intimacy, meaningful relationships, and self-love.
Oh my goodness. Can't say that any better. How? Yeah. So what has your journey been? I mean, that's such a beautiful sentiment. And I know from our chats that this hasn't been necessarily the way that you've gone about, you know, having a mission in life. And this is kind of something fairly recent to you. So tell me the journey of getting where you are today and having Linger introduced to the world.
Yeah. And I'm still trying to figure out how to make this a short story, but I spent 15 years in tourism and economic development. I was in community leadership positions for the majority of my career. Really loved it, though I feel now without the titles of community leader that I am more connected to my community than ever, because I get to connect with women on such a deep, intimate, and often very vulnerable level. And sorry, I say women, they are our target market. I interact and connect a lot with all genders. So yeah. we're inclusive. But in 2020, during COVID, I got very sick. For about 9 months, I was in crippling pain. I had hives all over my body. I had a laundry list of symptoms. I used to joke that I needed an old-timey scroll to list them all.
Oh, no. It
was every week, there was something new. The illness required me to step away from my position. There was a lot of people I worked with, of course, who wanted me to just take a medical leave, but I knew in my heart of hearts that if I had any attachment to my old work and my own way, old way of life, that I wouldn't be able to heal. And I honestly, at that time, the doctors told my husband that I had 6 to 9 months to live.
Oh, wow.
So I wanted to spend 0% of that time thinking about anything work related. Throughout the journey of illness and eventually healing, I finally read in a book somewhere or deep in the Google and the internet that pleasure is the antidote to pain. And it absolutely blew my mind because I had always been taught and I had always thought that pleasure caused pain. Pleasure was either a distraction. Sexual pleasure was going to get you an unwanted pregnancy or an STI or a broken heart. And, you know, the list can go on, you know, and I was had spent the majority of my career very driven, very goal oriented, with very like tunnel vision on how to achieve. And there was very little room or priority in my life at all for play or pleasure of really any kind. Even when I was doing some fun things, I was like, how can this be more productive? How can I rest better, enjoy this more? Like, you know, it's just like very hard and wound up. Anyway, there was a bunch of little stepping stones along the way. Eventually, my husband and I were driving to a wine tasting trip. We were stuck in traffic on Interstate 5 on a Friday afternoon in the middle of June. And I was hot and sweaty and mad because he turned north on Interstate 5 instead of south. And we could have avoided all of the traffic. So I was mentally dividing assets with the man who had spent 9 months caregiving and walking me to the bathroom and taking care of like every single need I had. And we were stuck between these three strip mall sex shops. And I looked at them and my business development, economic development brain went on. And I was thinking about the business model behind them. And then I started thinking the experience of them. And I thought to myself, there are things on the other side of those doors that would give me pleasure. I don't like the experience of shopping there. So then I associate this experience with the products and then I don't want to use the products, or it's kind of this like weird vibe energy in the bedroom or the play area. And so eventually I just turned to my husband and the first things, like, literally I was trying to avoid glaring at him for like 30 minutes. I like the first words out of my mouth was like, I think we should turn that whole model on its head. And let's, instead of centering men's pleasure, we created a place that centered women's pleasure. And instead of objectifying women, we created a place where pleasure and women's pleasure was at the center of what we do. So that's what we did.
Wow.
I did. I always say we.
Yeah.
And he helps in the background. Yeah. He helps with research and development and government forms. But yeah, this is my baby.
I'm sure he protests to that research.
Yeah, he's not mad about his roles and responsibilities in that department.
So it just hit you, right? This is such a beautiful testament to just being observant, being like looking at skills you have, looking at this, maybe not even being aware of these innate skills that you have. You just were in this moment. And did you just blurt that out when you're like, hey, I think we should do this? Or were you thinking about these shops aloud while you were in traffic? How was his initial response?
I literally looked at him and I said, I think we should turn this model upside down. And like, instead of fluorescent light, like I had it all worked out in my head. Like, and I was just like, instead of fluorescent lights, it's floor to ceiling windows. Instead of feeling like you have to hide your bag or you're in a seedy strip mall area, we're right in the middle of a family friendly, bustling part of downtown Olympia. Instead of hiding your bag, it's like you're proud to show that off. And people are, they do. And there could be a candle in there, there could be pajamas in there, or there could be like a sexy toy in there. Nobody knows. But it's not something to feel shame or stigma around. We spent the rest of his birthday weekend talking about my business idea. And then in 2 weeks, I had the license. And 3 months later, we opened online. We did pop-ups for a few months and then we opened our brick and mortar.
Wow. So I absolutely love that. And I love the story of it just being so taboo and seeing that taboo just glaring you in the face. And so my question, and maybe a vulnerable one, was, you know, prior to Linger, would you frequent those, or did you not even because of the taboo nature? Or because, you know, not everybody walks into those. Sure. It's weird. It's a really weird and interesting phenomenon that you don't have to walk into a Lover's or into any of those stores to just understand this taboo-ness and stigma around it. It's just out there. So my curiosity is, what was your experience prior to Linger personally to give mm-hmm. you that knowledge?
Yeah. So I had probably gone to those stores maybe on one hand, right. Amount of times. And, you know, I had a couple of experiences when I was like in my college age, where it's just like, those are long stories on tangents. But then when, you know, one of the decisions I made when I was sick and I kind of had this aha, oh, pleasure is the antidote to pain, I started prioritizing platonic pleasure for a period of time. And then there was a period where I wanted to reclaim the more intimate parts of my relationship with my husband, because he had been my caregiver for so long. And I had decided at some point in the bathtub on this journey that if and when I came on out on the other side of this, I wasn't going to settle for anything in my life. Like, I went through this checklist of like, what do I want? Like, we just built a house. Do I want this house that we just built? Do I want this marriage? Do I want these kids? I know that's an awful thing to say. I did choose the children. Like, do I want any of mm-hmm. this? And everything yeah. moving forward was going to be super intentional and only things that brought me an enormous amount of joy and pleasure. And one of those things, as I looked at, is just like, you don't get a gold crown for long-term marriages. At the end of it, there's no gold crown, there's no fancy award, so I'm not gonna, like, my husband and I have always had a healthy, good, happy marriage. But I think on the other end of this, I was just like, oh no, I want this like next level. I want this, like, I want all the cells in my skin to stand on edge when he walks in the door. And I want my toes to curl every time, you know, we're together. And I don't want to just fall into this kind of pattern that and script that we have in American culture, mm-hmm. that you like get married, you have kids, you stop having sex, you kind of have this like underlying resentment maybe towards each other, but, you know, and maybe you make it, maybe you don't, but I really wanted to make it with him. And so I think like two things, the taboo nature of it, I've learned a lot about myself in the last few years, and I think that there's something in me that's always very attracted to the taboo, but I've never acted on it because I've always been conditioned to be the good girl. Mm-hmm. And especially working for government-funded nonprofit organizations, I was always the one dotting the I's, crossing the T's, making sure, you know, everything was just so. And I was very successful and I learned how to play that game and I did it very well. And also the projects I chose to really stand behind and go after in my previous career were always the most controversial. Mm. And those were the ones that lit me up the most and yeah. lit me on fire the most. And so, yeah, I think that learning more about myself from a sexual perspective has really shed a light on who I am as a person in general. And there is a part of me that is deeply drawn to the taboo. And so this feels like, even like, I'm taboo. The store is taboo in this way that it's like edgier than the most vanilla. Mm-hmm. But it's not edgy enough, you know, yeah. for like the kinkiest or, you know, wildest people. We're just kind of like, we're hitting this spot in the middle that's like, I think it's appealing to both, but also it's like not enough for either, yeah. which I think is interesting. Like, we're, yeah, too sexy for some of our most conservative people in our community. And then we're not sexy enough. For our kinkiest parts of our community or edgiest that way. And so it's kind of fun. I mean, I'm just like on the outside of all those groups and trying to just carve and create our own little space and community. And if people want to be a part of that, we'd love to have them.
Yeah.
So.
Absolutely. Well, you used some really beautiful language, right? Like you hit the spot. How many of us are hoping for that, right? So I love the story behind it. I love that you've tapped into kind of your own, you know, seeking pleasure and realization and going through such an insane life, possibly shifting moment. And then what you did was you prioritized yourself, your pleasure. And what most of us, and I say that as women, but I think it is for many of us just as humans, men and women, being selfish, focusing and putting our own desires, wants, needs, pleasure, time, joy, what have you, is also slightly taboo, right? We're told we're supposed to live this life and not work to live, but live to work, or you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yet we still have this underlying sense of guilt around being selfish. And so how much of that came into play, or did you battle, and how do you help women if you do, or and men kind of overcome that? Because I think that's even more taboo than some of the things we've been talking about.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. There's this beautiful quote from the author of this book called Unbound. And I would love to say the author's name, but I need to figure out how to pronounce it. But she says, the most radical thing a woman can do is want. Because in our culture, we are taught to serve. And so to like want, to claim, to make sex about us is radical in our culture. And I think that like what I'm seeing is more and more women specifically, because again, that's my target audience, is more and more of them start tiptoeing or deep diving, regardless of where they are in the journey, into figuring out what it is they want and then claiming and asking, like, because that's the next step, is asking for you what you want is even perhaps even more radical. And what I'm finding is like how much power people are starting to claim within themselves. And then that pleasure and that power just starts overflowing into all aspects of their life. It's like they're tapping into this like a life force energy that lights them up and puts them on fire in every other aspect. So they show up differently at work. If you can ask for what you want in the bedroom clearly, concisely, and then receive it, I bet you can do that in the boardroom. You know, and if you can really understand what your desires are, like those are your gifts. Your desires are your gifts in the world as well. And I think that pleasure, when we put pleasure first, and I have written a guide about this and I'll share it with your audience later, but when we prioritize pleasure, when we put pleasure first, we become more energized, we become more creative, we are more alive. And instead of like just kind of going through the motions and checking the boxes of life, we start going into every aspect of life from aliveness. And it's not about like taking or, I don't know. I lost my train of thought at this point. But, So I don't know if that answers your question.
I think it's a really great point, because especially like the audience of our, like this show's audience, a lot of us are entrepreneurs, right? And so it's really easy for us to do exactly what you said, cross the T's, dot the I's, check the boxes, rinse and repeat. You know, like this year for me, my word, I don't know if everyone's word people, I'm not usually a word people, but this year I felt compelled to have a word, and my word was live. And it was because I just felt myself not even living, let alone talk about this layer. If we're struggling to even just live, and of course, physically I'm here alive, but to truly figure out what living means, that's a layer that's hard to bring on and then to put in pleasure, right? And so what I was hearing and what I was thinking was, how do I live? I used to think, you know, joyfully or live happily, but gosh, that feeling, like you painted that picture beautifully about when you see your husband, when he walks in the door, those every cell of your body lights up, tingles, gets activated, right? How do we bring that activation of, like, I think pleasure, like joy is supposed to, we say joy, we only want to live with joy, but what does it feel like?
Yeah,
and to me, I feel like you're tapping into like these feelings of what does it feel like? It probably feels a bit like pleasure in some way, mm-hmm. but yet we fight it and we're not sure where it's allowed to be in our life. And so I'm kind of riffing off of some of the things you said. And so my question is just, you know, when a woman comes to you or walks into Linger mm-hmm. and is, you know, at the beginning of this journey and just wants to prioritize pleasure for herself, how do you help guide? What's the easiest way for people to start? Like, what's a good tip you would give?
Yeah, well, the biggest tip I will give is start with slowing down. Slowing way down. So our tagline is like, in a world of fast, we like it slow. And pleasure requires slowness. It does. And I think that our fast-paced, quickie culture isn't serving women well. And so we are go, go, go all the time. And so when we think about, especially sexual pleasure, so many women, I think, are in this position where it feels like work. Mm-hmm. One more thing to do, a distraction mm-hmm. from the list of to-dos we have. Maybe even it feels like something they have to do for somebody else because it's not for them. And so I think encouraging people to slow down just in life, because you need space, need a little bit of white space in life to be able to carve out, to have time. One of the big reasons why we prioritize sleepwear in our shop, we have the most luxurious, lovely sleepwear. I even had somebody at the event come up and say, like, best sleep ever.
Okay.
Yeah, because it matters. Like, our sleep is like the most important part of our day. And so for so many people, it's like an afterthought because, and for me, it was certainly like, I got angry that we were even created in this way that we had to sleep to restore our bodies. Cause that was really inconvenient for all the things that I needed to do ahead of time. But women get a bad rap for prioritizing sleep over sex often. And we are absolutely here for it because our bodies need to be in a parasympathetic state to be able to experience pleasure of any kind. So starting with just like slowing down our lifestyles, sometimes that requires some hard decisions or conversations in our life, starting with sleep. And then if we want to get to a point where we want to start answering that question of what it is that you like, because one of the things that I found very interesting is I would say, like, well, what do you like? And so many women, and myself included, I remember that being this person too, will just look at me and be like, think, think. Like, I don't know. They know they have multiple degrees. They are community leaders. They are, you know, like complete badasses in the whole rest of the world. And they don't know what they want or what they like in the bedroom. And that can feel a lot of ways for a lot of people. And so holding space for that, but giving ideas. So sharing ideas on how to explore what you like. So one of the things that I love to encourage people to do, and you can do this by yourself in a self-pleasure routine or with a partner, but planning a experimentation date and carving out like however long you think you need to experiment with pleasure, like double it. Or triple it. Carve out a lot of time. Bring some snacks. Bring some water. Carve out time. And light a candle. Like, set some music. And take some time, like, just different sensations, different textures, different pressures, different, like just different ways of touching, engaging with your own body or a partner's body can be really fun. I do these date nights for people where we set up a sensation bar that ranges with toys from like soft and sensual to more kinky and spicy. And it's so fun to see light bulbs go off. And I think even times where we might have had a experience where we're like, oh, that I didn't like that or that didn't work well, is thinking about what is it that didn't work well about it and if we change certain things, certain factors of that experience, could it be pleasurable? My husband has a rule that he'll eat anything twice. And I always feel awkward saying that in the context of sex. But he has eaten some like weird foods in his life. But his rule is that because he figures if the first time he tried it, he didn't like it, it could have been not prepared well. Mm-hmm. And so if you try it again and you still don't like it, great. I don't like it. It's not for me. That's fine. Yeah. But giving it maybe another shot. And I think that what has been interesting to me, again, kind of like in my own self-discovery journey, is like I really thought that I was somebody who liked Nora Jones. I wanted gentle touch. I wanted, you know, like I wanted this like soft, sensual. And that was what I was communicating to my husband because that's what I thought that I was supposed to like, that I did like. And then I couldn't understand why I was getting like heebie-jeebies. Like my skin would crawl when he would like touch me gently. And there were moments where I thought like, oh, clearly we're not compatible because my body is responding this way. Well, no, I just need a deeper, heavier, more like energetic touch than just like this light, gentle music. So we kicked Nora Jones out of the bedroom and we got like some darker, you know, different music that's like a little more that vibes. And but playing, like just taking time to play, taking the pressure off of intercourse. I think we just have this very narrow definition in our culture that sex is defined as intercourse and it's supposed to last about this amount of time and it's supposed to end in an orgasm. And if we take the pressure of an orgasm off, if we take the pressure of intercourse off and we make pleasure the point, we can learn so much about ourselves and have a lot of fun in the process. Like it can be like awkward. You can laugh, you can giggle, you can stub your toe, pull a hamstring, stop for that snack or that glass of water, you know. But
change the music.
So I think just like really, slowing down, carving out time and trying new things and being like being open to just trying something and knowing that it doesn't have to be for you. You can try it and let it go. And then, or you can try it and love it.
Yeah. And I mean, that's like, I always say, you know, it's always a no until you ask. And I think it's the same thing. It's always a no until you try, you know, check it out. And I know it is silly to say, oh, my husband always eats everything twice. It is kind of silly to say, but the premise, the thought behind it is, you know, oftentimes you might have tried something sexually and maybe you didn't think you liked it, but it was because it was the intention behind why it was being done was different, right? I talk so much about intention here. And if we think about, you know, a position or an act or a type of, you know, plan that you have with your partner and you're going into it intentionally to, you know, it's not about my pleasure, it's about him, or I have to look like the people look on that show we were watching, or whatever it happens to be. If the intention isn't centered around something that brings you pleasure, isn't centering you, that first time you tried it, or second or third, or however many times, could be tainting the experience. And so, like, obviously, you know so much more about this world than me, but if we bring it into my world a little bit and just think about placing that intention, I think that would serve us beautifully. Mm-hmm. And I can't imagine, I mean, I'll call myself out. I don't always go into, you know, intercourse with an intention at all. You know, it does often turn into, you know, dotting the I and crossing the T. And so, especially for women, I think it's easy to fall into that pattern. I definitely took away a couple things. Absolutely love, and I think it was probably shocking to listeners to say that the first tip that comes out of Shauna's mouth is to prioritize sleep. And amen that you are just being so real with it, because that is so centered around sex as well, is the bedroom and is sleep. You know, they even say to take out the TV from your bedroom if you want to really associate this space with this intention. But they never say anything about, you know, what else we're supposed to associate with this room. So I just think it's beautiful that you not only supporting us to prioritize that, it's also through Linger offering things that make it exciting and pleasurable, mm-hmm. right? Crawl into those PJs. They're the most comfortable, soft, sensual thing that you're going to put on. Mm-hmm. Absolutely love that. And then, I loved, you had said, well, you actually, I wanted to ask a question and we're totally going over time and I knew we were going to do this, but you had said earlier in this, and I'll think about my other question or other takeaway. You had said, was it polysymmetry or polysymmetrical or something?
Parasympathetic state.
What is that word? What is that?
Yeah. So that's like our rest and digest state. So if we think that a lion is coming after us, mm-hmm. our body is going to go into survival mode and we are going to figure out how to get away from that lion. But our bodies aren't going to be prioritizing reproduction. It's just prioritizing survival.
Yeah.
So if we're in constant survival mode, that's just not a place where we're going to experience pleasure. And I honestly think that that's where a lot of women I see, I was that for 15, 20, well, probably longer if you include my childhood. I was in that like high achieving, high driven, hard survival state. Mm-hmm. And so the idea of softening mm-hmm. and you know, that was very hard. And pleasure starts with relaxation, with mm-hmm. slowness, and getting our bodies into a place where we can rest and digest and then receive. And you think about even like, this is a little more like medical or physical or whatever, but when we are stressed, our vaginas are tight.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can't even like let anything in. Mm-hmm. Like in these very like real physical way as well. And so there's a lot of people who experience pain and think that pain is just what they have to endure. And it absolutely is not. There's a lot of, where I get into all of this, like just so many cultural messages. Some of them are directly related to sex and so many of them aren't, but that become barriers to our pleasure. And I love what you're tying it into the intentionality factor as well, because I think another thing is just like being intentional about why it is you're engaging in play or engaging in pleasure and who it's for. Yeah. In addition, like you were talking about with the sleepwear, our lingerie is not curated for the male gaze. They might appreciate it, but our lingerie is curated for her. Mm-hmm. We want her to feel her best self. And we want her to feel comfortable and good and radiant. And if you don't need lingerie to feel that way, if that's not your thing, but if you like it and you want to feel, you know, like it's for her. And I think that, it sounds selfish, but at the same time, like our partners benefit more when we are in our most confident, powerful, and rested state as well. So,
absolutely. Well, I knew this would happen. I knew we would go on and on and on. I could talk to you for hours. I'm literally sitting here jokingly thinking about we should just make a show together because this is the most fun thing to talk about. I absolutely love this. I can't wait for listeners to hear and just have a new perspective. Or, you know, it's probably not even new, but just push this back into the forefront of their mind because we all deserve it. Our men deserve it. And so I want to just kind of wrap up, share with people just again, what is Linger Boutique? What is the easiest way to get into your world? I want listeners who are excited about what you're bringing to the table to know how to get more. Let us know.
Yeah, absolutely. So Linger Boutique is a Lingerie, sleepwear, and sexual wellness boutique. We're located in the heart of downtown Olympia, right across from the farmers market. And then we're also available online at lingerboutique.com. We have a lot of fun on Instagram. I have actually a lot of doctors, pelvic floor therapists, and sex therapists prescribing our Instagram just to have something that's sex positive, comfortable, and approachable for people. So that feels really good. So you can join us there. And then for your listeners, if they want to go to lingerboutique.com/vim, we are offering a guide we're calling Pleasure First, the business plan you really need. And this is not a work-life balance guide. Like, we do not use work-life balance in our language at all. I think it's outdated, antiquated, and it's very hustle culture oriented. So trying to like pull out of that mindset and giving us 6 sexy strategies. We're playful, but also I'm playful about it, but I'm also very deeply serious about pleasure as well. Yeah. And so giving some different ideas for slowly integrating pleasure into your life in different ways. And I also, like I say this in the guide, but I want to reiterate that it's not another checklist of things for you to do. Mm-hmm. Like, you pick and choose what resonates with you, let go of the rest. This is not a guide that's like, you have to like the 10 things that are going to change your world or whatever. Like,
not a Cosmo magazine cover.
It's not a Cosmo magazine. Nope. We have fun with it. There's some fun ideas. They've worked for me. They've worked for others, and they might work for you.
Yeah.
So,
I love that you are giving the listeners that specific offer. I will make sure that link, lingerboutique.com/vim. Remember, guys, it's 2 I's. I will make sure that link is in the show notes. And my husband is a listener of the show. He is the most amazing support of our show. And so I know he's listening to this. And so I'm gonna prompt him to either text me, or if you're listening to this and I'm near you, remind me or ask me what that guide brought to the table if I haven't already. That's a good fun yeah. thing to look forward to for episode 87. Thank you, Shauna, so much for coming on. Thank you for what you do. Thank you for being bold and brave and selfless to give this to so many others. It is a selfless act to give this to so many women, and as you pointed out, men. So I just really value and appreciate you so much.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. And I love what you're doing. I loved your speech and your contribution to the workshop. And I look forward to getting to know you more in the future.
Likewise. Thank you so much. All right, guys, bye. Until next time.
Bye.
Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of the Passion on Purpose podcast. I truly hope you got a lot of value out of this episode. So if you did, please rate, review, and share. If you are interested in being a guest on the show, whether a leader or an expert, please go to getvim.com/podcast and you will find our application page, or reach out to me directly and I can give you more information.